Turn in your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Of late, reading through the prophets in my Bible reading, I have had a desire to show you some things in the prophecies, not that are so much being fulfilled in current events. I hesitate to do that because men have done it in the past, and then what happens is it's not really, you know, what they're seeing is not really the fulfillment at that time, and people become a little bit disillusioned that you're just trying to draw every current event into the fulfillment of prophecy. But there are certain things that are trending, certain things that are happening, certain things that are going to happen that I think would be really beneficial for us to see in the Bible. So as you contemplate events unfolding, you have some biblical perspective on what's going on. I think that's very helpful. And so in thinking about that, the Lord has directed me to some basic things that help establish a foundation upon which we can then build our understanding of some of the things that are going on in, let's say, for instance, Isaiah. All right? And so I turn your attention to Genesis chapter 12 this morning so we can clearly study God's covenant with Abraham. If we have a good understanding of what God covenanted with Abraham, and perhaps what he covenanted with David, for instance, then what we do is we lay a foundation for God's relationship with Israel and our understanding of what he's going to do, regardless of what anybody else is trying to do to stop him. Okay? And so in Genesis chapter 12, we're going to read about, or begin reading about, God's covenant with Abraham. We're going to look at some other passages in Scripture where he expands what he's saying here so we can really clearly understand what's going on. Genesis chapter 12, read with me in verse 1 through 7. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed, and you understand at this point he has no offspring, unto thy seed will I give what? This land. That would be the land of Canaan. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. So what we're going to do is we're going to study this covenant that God made with Abram and then later affirmed with Abraham as his name was changed, and look at a couple of other cross-references so we clearly understand what's going here. Under this covenant, first of all, we see that Abraham was promised a blessing. He says in verse 2, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. So there's a special covenant relationship between God and Abram, and he says to him specifically, I am going to bless thee. Then he says in verse 7, I'm going to give you a seed, which at the time was easier for Abram to believe. You know, at 75, at that time at least, he was still considerably young enough to be able to reasonably assume that he and Sarah would have a child together. And he says in verse 2, not only did he promise a blessing and a seed, but he also promised him this in verse 2, I will make of thee a what? Great nation. A nation. You know, Israel doesn't get its distinction, its national distinction, until they are ready to leave Egypt. They go down there, when they go into Egypt, once Joseph is there and Jacob and the other sons and family members go to escape the famine. They're just a small family. You can count them under 100, you know. So it's just a small family. But he says, I'm going to make you a nation. All right, and then in verse 7, unto thy seed will I give this land. So there's a land grant. There's a blessing. There's a seed. There's the promise of a nation and the promise of a land grant. Do you see that? All right, this is all this is very important. So God says to Abram, there's going to be something special to you, this special blessing of God to you, and you're going to have a seed, and you're going to have a nation, you have a land grant. And furthermore, in addition to those four things, this blessing is going to also carry with it a curse on any who would curse them. Look in verse 3. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. Well, you read through your scripture, you don't see God making a covenant with other individuals, with other nations like this covenant. You know, the promise of a particular place, the promise of a particular seed, the promise of a blessing, the promise to curse those that curse him. This is this very unusual thing going on here, and it's very early in your Bible. Now, this covenant that God made with Abram was not something that just resided with Abram only. In other words, in verse 7, when he says, unto thy seed will I give this land, then there's going to be the continuation of the covenant that God made with Abram beyond Abram onto the seed. All right, for instance, turn with me to Genesis chapter 27. All right, he said, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, for instance. So Genesis chapter 27. All right, in Genesis chapter 27, Jacob is going to receive a blessing from his father, Isaac. And in verse 29, notice, let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Here it is. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee and blessed be he that blesseth thee. From Abram to Isaac, who is now giving this blessing and this promise. From Isaac then to Jacob. Okay? You see that? So to get it from Isaac to Jacob, it has come to Isaac from Abram. And we're going to see some more connections. Notice in Numbers chapter 24. Numbers chapter 24. And look at verse 1, this is Balaam, right? And he is prophesying over Israel. He's standing there with the king of the Midianites, Balak. He has been hired to curse, right, Israel. All right, Balaam in verse 2 of Numbers 24 lifts up his eyes. He saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes. The Spirit of God came upon him. So what he's getting ready to say now is not what he wants to say, but it's what the Spirit of God is going to say through him. Later, the Bible says about what Balaam has been hired to do. He was hired to curse Israel, but God turned the curse into a blessing. Look at verse 9. He couched, he lay down as a lion and as a great lion. Who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. What God said to Abram, Isaac said to Jacob, and Balaam said prophesied over Israel. Okay? Now notice one more time, and we're going to look at the reference you're going to look at carefully, because we're going to refer to it again. So turn to Psalm 105. Psalm 105, I'm going to refer to this again. I want you to look carefully at what's going on here. Psalm 105. Now, you're nestled in Psalm 105. You are nestled in a lot of historical psalms concerning Israel. Psalm 102, 103, 104, 105, 106, 107, lots of stuff concerning the history of Israel. All right, Psalm 105, verse 6. O you seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered what? His covenant. That's what we're talking about. Forever the word which he commanded to a thousand generations. Which covenant he made with whom? Who did he make it with? Abraham. So this is the covenant that God made with Abraham. His covenant he made with Abraham, has oath and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for what kind of covenant? An everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake. So this covenant then continues from Abraham to Isaac, from Isaac to Jacob, from Jacob to the 12 tribes, to a thousand generations. And God says it is an everlasting covenant. It survives Abraham's life and continues with Israel even through this day. Even through this day. All right? So go back to Genesis now. You see where he initially made the covenant. And look with me in this time in two places. First of all, let's go to Genesis chapter 15. Well, we'll start in Genesis 17. Let's keep it all together. We'll start in Genesis 17, and I'll refer back to 15 from there. Okay? Genesis chapter 17. So God now is speaking with Abram, and Abram is now 90 years old and nine. That's kind of like a few years after Genesis 12 and the original blessing, 75 years old. Now he's 99, 24 years later. All right, Genesis 17, 1. When Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. So each time we look in Genesis 17 for confirmation of the covenant made in Genesis chapter 12, will also run the cross references. So what did he promise in the covenant in verse 2? I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee, how much? Exceedingly. All right? Well, look at Genesis chapter 15, and let's see what he said. I will multiply thee exceedingly. In Genesis chapter 15, in verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? So he's still not had any children yet. And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars. To tell the stars is to count them. When you go to the bank and you make a deposit, you give that deposit to a teller. The teller is counting the deposit. All right, tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. So he says, your seed is going to be as the stars of heaven for multitude. If you look up at the stars in the city of Corpus Christi, you can reasonably count the big ones because of the light pollution. But if you go to Big Bend, where it's dark, and you look your head up there and you start counting, you're going to run out of numbers before you run out of stars. Because there are a bunch of them out there. Okay? And he said, that's what your seed's going to be like. So he says to Genesis 17, when he said, I'm going to multiply thee exceedingly, I'd say if you get more than the stars for multitude, that's a big bunch of people. Wouldn't you agree? Okay. And then back in Genesis 17, verse 3, Abram fell on his face and God talked with him saying, okay, here's more expansion, more information, more confirmation of the covenant. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. So it's a covenant with Abraham. And thou shalt be a father of many nations, of many nations. Well, God did this. Because notice Abraham's genealogy. People say, I was talking to a fellow just the other day. I'd given him a Bible and I told him to read it. And then he came and he had supper with me. And he says, you know, I started to read that Bible. I got to Genesis chapter 1. He said, you know, there are a lot of begats and begots in there. What's that all about? I said, well, if you were a Jew and Jesus Christ came as your professed Messiah, the first thing you'd need to know is his genealogy because it has to come from Abraham. Oh, he said, I never thought about that. I said, well, you wouldn't. A lot of people get turned off by that, but I'm telling you what, God made this covenant with Abraham. The thing he's got to do is show that Jesus Christ is a descendant of that line. And that's very important genealogy. So he said, I'm going to make thee a father of many nations. You read in your Bible all these genealogies, like, what's that all about? Well, it's to tell you that God didn't lie when he said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Turn to Genesis chapter 25, for instance. In Genesis chapter 25, you remember, Isaac and Sarah became impatient with God and this promise. And so Abraham actually had a child by Hagar, the handmaid. His name was Ishmael. Genesis chapter 25, verse 12, these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abraham. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael, by their names according to their generations. And so you've got Nebajoth, Kedar, Abdiel. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, okay? And you run down there and you see there are lots of descendants, okay, of Ishmael. As a matter of fact, some of the people that are throwing rocks at Israel right now are descendants of this man, okay? And then in Genesis chapter 25, look at verses 20. Let's see. I'll go a little bit further than that. So we have the descendants of Isaac, and then what we have is, the descendants of Abraham, and then we have Isaac's offspring here in Genesis chapter 25, right? And verses 12, 24 to 28, you have the two sons, Esau and Jacob, like verse 26. After that came his brother out, his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. So there's Esau and there's Jacob. And then you can read in Genesis 35. Aren't you excited about it? Isn't this fun? Genesis 35, beginning with verse 22. At the end, the sons of Jacob were 12 at the end of verse 22, and there they are, from 23 all the way down to 26. There are those 12 sons named, so there's Jacob's offspring, in Genesis chapter 36, beginning with verse 1 all the way down to verse 19. Then you see all of Esau's offspring, and then go back to Genesis chapter 25, and begin with verse 1. After Sarah died, Abraham took a wife. Her name was Keturah, Genesis 25, 1, and she bare him. Look at this, verse 2. Zimram, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, Shua, and then all the children they did, down to verse 4. So you've got Abram, and from him, you've got Ishmael and all his descendants. You have Isaac. You have Esau and Jacob and all of their descendants. And then you have, you know, he marries again, and all the descendants of Keturah. And all these then have the multitude of nations. All I'm saying is, when God made the covenant with Abraham, or Abram, in Genesis chapter 17, and said, I'm going to multiply thee exceedingly, he did. And he said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations, and he did. He did. And then, come back to Genesis chapter 17. You know, he goes on in verse 6 to say, I will make thee exceeding fruitful, I will make nations of thee, kings shall come of thee. Verse 7, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations. For what kind of covenant? An everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to what? To thy seed after thee. So he promised him a seed. It's a confirmation of what he said he would do in Genesis 12, what he said he would do in Genesis 15, what he said again he would do in Genesis chapter 17. Now, the promised seed could have included Ishmael when Ishmael was born. But when you get to Genesis chapter 21, it singles out one person. Genesis chapter 21, go there. All right? We are just laboring through some of this stuff in Genesis to help you to understand this covenant is not theoretical. It's practical. It has actual things going on associated with it right here in the book. Genesis chapter 21, verse 9. Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, that's Ishmael, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. Look, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So God says, if you want to know how I'm going to fulfill this thing, I'm fulfilling it to you, and I'm fulfilling it through your son Isaac, not through Ishmael. See that? Okay, so he promised him a seed. All right, and this now leaves Isaac as the fulfillment of the prophecy. Jumping ahead from here to the New Testament, something that they weren't aware of when God made this covenant with Abram through Isaac here, God was aware of. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. God always had in mind and worded what he said in the Old Testament just the way he intended for a particular purpose. Galatians chapter 3 will show you what it is. We're going to jump right to the verses that apply. Look at verse 16. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. What kind of promises do we see? Okay, their seed is the multitude of the stars of heaven. Okay, all those kind of things. All right, so the promises were made. He said not, he saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is whom? Christ. Which is Christ. And those who trust Christ to save them, Genesis chapter 3, verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:26. Ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus, Christ Jesus. Verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are ye, what? Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You see it? All right, so that your seed shall be as the stars of heaven for multitude, not only included descendants literally through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 tribes, but those who are descendants by the new birth in Jesus Christ. Turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And notice in verse 9. Romans 4:9. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only? What, you know, what's going on in Genesis chapter 12, and you'll see it here when we go back, is that God is going to confirm this covenant with Abraham by a token, the token of circumcision. But when God is speaking to Abraham in Genesis 17 and the verses we're looking at, he hasn't been circumcised yet. So, Paul, in speaking about things like this, look at verse 1 for the context. What shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? Okay, now he's going to answer it. Verse 9, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for his right for righteousness. That's when he looked up at the stars and God said, I know you don't have a baby yet, but you are. And he goes, I believe that. And God had counted it to him for righteousness. Verse 10, how was it then reckoned? Was when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised. Watch it. Here's the key. That he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised. That righteousness might be imputed unto them also, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had yet being uncircumcised, for the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. What he's saying simply is this. Those who have the faith of Abraham, whether they are circumcised, i.e. Jews, or uncircumcised, i.e. all of us, we can look to Abraham as our father in the faith as his seed because of Christ. So the promise that your seed would be as the stars of heaven for multitude included you because of your faith in the promise of God, just like, which was Jesus Christ, just like Abraham looked at those stars and said, yeah, I believe that. I believe that. All right. All we're establishing is this. God made a covenant with Abraham, and the covenant involved multiplying exceedingly, both literally through physical offspring and spiritually through spiritual offspring that came through the promised seed, who is Jesus Christ. The literal offspring through Isaac and Jacob and the 12 tribes, the spiritual offspring through faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? God contemplated a lot when he made this covenant with Abraham. Now, verse 8 of Genesis 17. Genesis 17, look at verse 8. So he said, I'm going to make this everlasting covenant. Verse 7, verse 8, I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee what? The land wherein thou art a stranger, He tells you which land it is. All what? The land of Canaan. For an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. If it's an everlasting possession, how long is that? Just like everlasting life is forever, correct? And it's a very specific land. Now notice, he gives it to Abram here, right? Look in Genesis 26:3. Verse 1 for the context. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give what? All these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. You see what God did? He said, I gave it to Abraham, now I'm giving it to you. Right? You saw that, didn't you? Okay, then look in Genesis 28. Genesis chapter 28. And look at verse 13. Genesis 28, 13. And behold, okay, so here's a ladder. This is Jacob running from Esau, right? Verse 12, he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. We call that what ladder? Jacob's ladder, okay. Verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Are we having any difficulty understanding what's going on here? God said to Abraham, you get this land. Isaac, you get this land, and I'm going to bless you. You're going to be a blessing, just like I said about Abraham. Jacob, guess what? You get this land. And to your seed. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. All right, you know what's going on in Joshua, right? He's going into the land of Canaan now to take it for a possession. Okay, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto what? The land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. That's the 12 tribes. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites under the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. And we haven't actually gone back to Genesis 15 and so forth to show it's much larger than between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea. In Genesis 15, it goes all the way to the Euphrates, and when he's given it to the 12 tribes, it goes all the way to the Euphrates. You know, in the Balfour Declaration, this land grant you're reading here was going to be the land granted to Israel for a state. There was a lot of uproar by the other nations, and so all that's east of the Jordan River was called Transjordan. And Israel got a piece of the peace that they're in right now. That's not what God contemplated. He said, I'm going to give it to you, Abraham, for an everlasting covenant, to your son Isaac, and he said it to Isaac directly, and then to Jacob, and now he's talking to Joshua, and he says, I'm giving it to the children of Israel. Do you know what that means? God made sure to record in his word every passing down to every generation. In when you read about this in Psalm 105, he said, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few in men in number, yea, very few in strangers in it, and he gave it to them as an everlasting covenant. I'll go back to Genesis chapter 17 and look at verse 19. God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for what kind of covenant? An everlasting covenant, and beyond him to what? His seed after him. All right, now there's just a couple of comments that we need to make here. Number one, because we, by the new birth, are now considered to be the seed of Abraham, our father in the faith, there are many people as Christians who have said God is no longer going to honor his covenant with Abraham. The church replaces Israel in the promises of God. And that's not so. And you'll find a lot of times when you're reading a prophecy like Isaiah, how many of you in your Bibles actually have a little superscript up here on the top of each page to sort of give you an idea of what's going on in the chapter? You got that? When you get into Isaiah, particularly the latter chapters, you can look at those superscripts up there, and the promises that are literally given to Israel, that superscript will say God's promise to the church. And it's not. It is a literal promise in fulfillment of Genesis 12, 15, and 17 to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 tribes of Israel as it concerns that land grant and their national relationship with other nations. He said, in thee shall the nations of the earth be blessed. That's not something given to the church. It's given to the nation of Israel. Okay? And we'll look at that a little bit more. But the other thing is, the world's view of this covenant is that Israel is not God's chosen people. The idea is, in order to solve the problem with peace in the Middle East, the thing to do is to have a Palestinian state and a Jewish state in the land of Canaan. All right? Now, you know, all the disputes that are going on right now and ones that have taken place in the past with the various wars that Israel has sustained. I want you to realize something. When Israel was given statehood or acknowledged to have their own state by the United Nations in 1945, and they actually, what was that, May the 14th or whatever, were able to have their own recognized statehood. That wasn't given to them by God. That was given to them by the United Nations. And when the United Nations did that, they partitioned the land and said, in that land we will have a Jewish state and a Palestinian state. The Jews agreed, and they acknowledged their statehood and began to govern themselves in their statehood. The Arab nations did not agree, and they did not agree to a Palestinian state. So there wasn't a Palestinian state. There's still not a Palestinian state. They still don't agree. They have one objective. Israel doesn't belong in that land. That's their objective. They don't want Israel. So sometimes we get excited and we say, well, we can date some of the fulfillment of prophecy based upon the fact that Israel had statehood. God didn't do that. The United Nations did that. And because the United Nations did that and partitioned that land, Israel today will say, well, we have this land. It was partitioned to us by the United Nations. Let me tell you something. It is way short of what God intended. that there will never be peace in the Middle East with a two-state solution, ever. If you hear that bantered around politically, it comes from a failure to believe the Bible and to acknowledge that the Jews are rightful heirs to the land because God gave that to them. And United Nations can't give it to them or take it away from them or give them statehood or not give them statehood. All of this flows from promises that came from Abraham, then to Isaac, then to Jacob, and then the 12 tribes of Israel. We, as the spiritual seed, children of Abraham by faith, should, above all others, be able to stand up and acknowledge, in fact, that covenant that God made with Israel is the right covenant. We should, that's our, like our brothers by, you know what, by the seed. But we are not, that's not our land. We have New Jerusalem. You right? But that's their land. And there's no question about that. So, the only time when you're going to have peace there is when the seed, Jesus Christ, returns. And when he returns in Zechariah chapter 8, chapter 14, we'll look at a little bit more. He is absolutely going to clear out the enemies and the nations that oppose Israel. And he's going to bring the literal tribes in. And we'll look at it. Ezekiel chapter 48 tells you exactly where they're going to inherit and how much they're going to inherit, right down to which ones are going to be in the north and which ones are going to be in the south. Israel is going to continue to draw the fire of nations repeatedly, because what the world is trying to do is accomplish something that God will not let them do. Because it's God's covenant, not man's. Okay? And in the end, Israel will win. We'll look at all of that, but just have to, we have to establish what we're going to look at in future things based on past things. Do you understand clearly? Right? What God did with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 tribes of Israel. Amen. Father, thank you today for giving us clarity in the scripture about your word, starting from the very beginning. And you're in this nation called Israel. We ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us now to be mindful of the things we've learned as we study more, so we can get a grasp biblically of that which you are doing, that which you would have us to do. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All righty.